is gonna be alright.
Be alright.
It's gonna be alright. Come on. Come on. Glory to his name. I think it just makes sense to dress up and come to church and have church. Amen. Romans chapter 5.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 5.
Oh, yes.
Glory to his name. He's real, real. I don't doubt him, for I know too much about him. For the Lord is real to me. As always, we're grateful and honored to stand where God has assigned. We don't take it lightly. God has brought us a long ways off. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. He has truly navigated our niches and allowed us this privilege of being participatory in this place of praise one more time. And as always, I'm privileged and honored to be in the company of Dr. Walker. Amen. Amen. What a great soul he is. And I'm coming to love him more and more day by day. And certainly to his lovely wife, Sister Walker. And to, amen. Listen, in coming, my Episcopal father told me to take care of Dr. Walker. And his premise is what go around comes around. And I want to do just that. Want to help take care of you. Amen. He gave me that old man look. What are you talking about, boy? That's what my Episcopal father told me, to take care of Dr. Walker. Listen, he has labored for over 40 years. And it is always right to give honor to whom honor is due. And certainly I thank God for his labor and love. And to all of you, hopefully your heart is postured. These men have labored hard to till the soils of your heart. So when the seed is sown, you're not wayside. You're not stony. You're not thorny. But you're good ground. And they have labored. They look good. They sound good. And, I got a lot to learn. I looked up and Brother McCain had the microphone. I said, oh, my. And sound good. My God. And these brothers are standing tall. Listen, when you got good men, you ought to thank God for them. Amen. 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 Great men. And these deacon brethren, the chairperson, the deacon ministry, the trustees, and to all of you. Listen for a few minutes, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus, dot, 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 the justifier. Amen. Look at another neighbor and say, Jesus, dot, 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 the justifier. Amen. Jesus, the justifier. Chapter 5 of Romans, begins with the word therefore. Therefore is a conjunction which serves to connect what was said in chapter 4 with what is about to be said in chapter 5. So to understand what Paul is about to say in chapter 5, it is necessary for us to go back to chapter 4 and know and understand what he said in chapter 4. Paul, in chapter 4, speaks of justification by faith. He used Abraham as a model, a representative of justification by faith. Abraham believed God against all odds. He believed God when the promise of God seemed foolish. For Paul in chapter 4, verses 18 through 22 says, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which he considered, by which he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the darkness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed in the promises of God, or in the promise of God, when it seemed foolish. Faith believes God, obeys God when it doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't make sense, but faith makes miracles. That there are things that God tells us to do, commands us to do, that we can't make sense of. It don't make sense to give a dime, and God is going to open the wonder and pour out a blessing that there shall be no room to receive. It makes no sense to cast your faith in a son who died on the cross, shed his blood, and the Bible declares that his blood is enough to cover everybody's sin in the world. That doesn't make sense, but it's really faith. Faith makes no sense. Faith makes us obey God when it don't make sense to obey God. What God was saying to Abraham didn't make sense. 90 years old. Wife is stricken in years. She had past her age of childbearing. And God sends a messenger to say to Abraham, you are going to have a bouncing baby boy. Don't make sense. But the Bible says that Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, he was justified by his faith. Not justified by what he did, but justified by his faith. Now, I think I need to pause parenthetically to say to us that we are not justified by what we do. We're not justified by what we give. we're not justified by how we look. We're not justified by Abraham's faith or mama's faith, daddy's faith, uncle's faith, auntie's faith, cousin's faith. My brothers and sisters, you are justified by your own faith. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to have your own faith. Your own faith. You are justified by your own faith in Jesus Christ. How can justification take place without works of the law? When James said faith without works is dead, brothers and sisters, Paul, he makes a distinction between the law and faith, the latter and grace. The works of the law are works done through fear or the enticing promise of temporal advantages. But works of faith are those done in the spirit of liberty, purely out of love for God, and they can be done only by those who have faith in God. Justified by faith. Justified by faith. Those who are justified by faith should have works of faith. But works don't save you. But if you're saved, you ought to have some works. Jesus said, when man see your good works, that says that God is expecting you to have works. Works, something that others can see, but you are not saved by your works. But you ought to have them. So others can see. And be careful now, because when of the sea, it's easy for you to try to rob God of his glory. People seeing you do miraculous things. Don't you put yourself in the place of God. I just thought I would tell you that while I'm on my way to the conclusion of this sermon, that it's a dangerous thing to try to steal God's glory. He says that others will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You are not saved by your works, but because you're saved, you ought to have some works. You know, if you're going to get to heaven and you want to be rewarded in heaven, if you want a crown, now I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in heaven without anything on my head. You know, some of y'all looking, you know, like you won't have nothing. I don't want to get to heaven and not have a crown. Something I can present to him because of what he has done for me. See, true gratitude expresses itself in obedience, which therefore will produce works in your life. But you're not justified by your works. But because you are justified, because you are saved, you ought to have some works. It is. Abraham was justified by faith. And justification means that God declares all who receives Christ to be righteous based on Christ's righteousness being imputed, deposited into your account. Have you ever gone to the bank? Knew your balance before you went. And for some strange reason, you was at the window and you told the teller, send me my balance. Got your slip, receipt. More in there, you inspected. How did this get in here? Somebody else put some money into your account. And you look at the receipt, the slip, and you know it doesn't equal up to what you put in. See, every now and then you ought to look in the mirror and think about where you are and what you're doing and how you got it. And you ought to know that it's not because of what you put in. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. When you think about what he's doing in your life and how he has forgiven you of your sin and how he's putting bread on your table and shoes on your feet and clothes on your back and breath in your body, you ought to know that it's not because of what you put in there. Look at your neighbor and shake the hand and tell him it's not because of what I put in. Matter of fact, I'm not at church today because of what I put in. I'm here because of what he put in. He puts righteousness into the account. He stood in our place. He paid the price. And I think I just need to poll the house this morning. Aren't you glad Jesus stepped in and stood in your place? Aren't you glad Jesus bared the blow of God's wrath for you? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to hang on that cross for your own sins? If you're glad, let me give you just a few minutes to act like it. Something into our account. And every day I look at my account, there's more in there than I expect to be in there. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He puts into our account righteousness. Y'all, can I just act like I'm in Mississippi? I know I'm in a proper place, but it just sounds good if I say it this way. We ain't hitting on nothing. But he puts it sounds better than we are not hitting on. He puts righteousness into our account. And he justifies. He declares us right based on the merit of his son. And because he declares us right, he treats us as if we right. He doesn't treat us guilty. He treats us as if we have never committed a sin. Now, that may not mean nothing to you right now, but give me a few minutes and let me just divulge these three particulars, and then I'll bid you farewell. Justification. Number one, gives us peace with God. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is sin that breeds the quarrel between God and man. Sin causes strangeness and enmity. In other words, it causes friction and hostility. Holy God cannot be at peace with a sinner while the sinner continues under the guilt of sin. But justification by Jesus Christ takes away the guilt and gives the sinner peace with God. This word peace, irene, in the Greek implies one, quietness, rest, to set at one again. To set at one again, to understand this setting at one again, you got to go back to Genesis. Before man sinned in the garden, he was at one with God. He was made in his image and in his likeness. Satan came slithering into the garden, caused Adam and Eve to disobey God, and sin separated so God didn't just, you know, put him in a, you know, distant place in the garden. He kicked him out of the garden. He put an angel with a twirling sword to keep them from the tree of life. Now, I thank God for that, because if man had of reached the tree of life in his sin, sin would live forever. But he was at one with, and so what Adam did was severed, caused friction, hostility between man and God. But Jesus came to put back together what Adam tore up, what he tore apart. Isn't that like Jesus? That we'll tear our lives up. We'll tear it apart. But when you give it over to him, he'll put it back together. Matter of fact, he's such a physician, he'll make you better than you were before you started working on your own life. He came to give us back. He came to remove the hostility. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, that hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. Peace with God. Come here, let me tell you what that means. That means that God is not at war with you that miss you. That means that you don't have to fear God's judgment. that God is not fighting you. Y'all still didn't miss it. You get it? That God is not at war with you. Kind of reminds me, you know, of, you know, you hang around certain people that have a negative aspect to this thing of salvation. You know, they think everything you do or done to you, God is trying to get you. Stomp your toe. Uh-huh, I told you. God is going to get you. Catch a cold. Uh-huh. I told you. God is going to get you. Child get in trouble. Uh-huh. See there? God is going to get you. But listen, when you understand justification, you don't have to fear God's wrath, because God is not against you, he's for you. You know, you can go sleep around folks who's for you, and you know they're for you. Peace with God. But listen, when you have peace with God, you have the peace of. See, now y'all trying to take my sermon from me. You have peace of God. Isn't that all right? That God will put peace in the inside of you. Jesus says, this peace I give, not as the world give. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace with God. Because Jesus is the justifier, we have peace with God. I'm all right with God. Y'all say that with me. I'm all right with God. I'm all right with God. I'm all right with God. Listen, you got to get that in your spirit. That I'm all right with God. That he's for me. And not against me. All conflict between you and God is ended. It's over. That's peace. That's peace. But not only does justification give us peace with God, but secondly, we have access by faith into this grace wherewith we stand. Access to God. His grace comes through Jesus Christ. William Barclay said the word access in the Greek means to introduce someone to royalty. We can go in to royalty. We can meet the King. Jesus, the Son of God, brings us into the grace of God, the Father. Grace. Grace. Oh, God giving you what you don't deserve. Grace. God blessing you, and you don't deserve it. Grace. God keeping you when you don't deserve to be kept. Grace. He says, in this grace in which we stand. Jesus, the way. We don't need anybody else. We don't need to pray through Mary or the priests. We don't need some meditative ritual, 5-step program. We can go directly to the Father in the name of His Son. We have access. That's why Jesus was able to say, I am the way. And when you pray, if you pray in my name, that's why you should close every prayer with His signature. In Jesus' name. Do I have any witness?
Yeah.
Nothing happens by your name, but when you call His name.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think about the 7 sons of Sceva.
Yeah.
They were trying to cast out demons in Paul's name.
Yeah.
And they were playing around with Jesus' name. But listen, the demons said, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but we don't know you. But listen, when you really know Jesus for yourself, and you call on Him and call on Him right, somebody here knows that He'll come in a hurry. Do I have a witness? Jesus in the morning. Jesus in noon. Jesus in the evening. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, when you call on Him, it gains you access. Makes me think about a story by Donald Gray Barnhouse. Told a story of a Southern soldier who had been freed from prison camp because he was too wounded to return to active duty. The wounded soldier was seeking access to the President of the United States so he could intercede for his brother in prison camp, who was the sole supporter of their mother. But the White House guards would not let him in to talk to the President. He had no access. But one day, Lincoln's son, Thad Lincoln, was walking near the White House. And he saw the wounded veteran. And he saw him crying, sitting on the bench. And the boy went up to him. And he said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I want to see the President because I want to intercede on behalf of my brother. And the little boy grabbed him by the hand, started walking toward the White House. And the guards start bowing and saluting the young Thad Lincoln. The boy took him on through the gates, on into the President's office. And he said, Daddy, this man want to see you. And the man was glad because he had gained entrance into the President's presence. But I'm here to tell you that there's one greater than the President of the United States. And His name is Jehovah. And I don't know about you, but I want His Son Jesus to take me by the hand and walk me through the gates unto the throne room of God. Do I have a witness? As I leave you with my third point, if you don't mind, let me hoop it on out and go on to the house. I was sitting there patiently, and I heard the men sing, and they began to hoop and began to holler. And I said, if they can holler and if they can hoop, surely I can hoop and holler. Ain't God all right? But listen, He says that we have hope, future hope of glory. This future hope of glory is not in this land. It's in a place in the sweet by and by. Do I have a witness? Jesus, he came to get us, to give us glory, to take us into the glory of his Father. You know what glory is? Glory is brilliance, radiant beauty. We will enjoy in God's presence. Glory is magnificence and majesty of God's presence. I want to see the Lord for myself. I go through down here, body racked with pain. I have to keep on laboring and keep on working. Ain't God all right? We are on our way to a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are pilgrims and we look for a city. We are warriors and we look for victory. We are laborers and we look for rest. We are afflicted and we look for relief and release. We are on earth, but we look for heaven. And as I leave you this morning, we look for heaven because heaven is the place we are look upon his face. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Is there anybody here want to go to heaven? Is there anybody here want to walk the streets of gold? Is there anybody here want to see Jesus? Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. Jesus, our horse pawing in the valley. Jesus, our rose of Sharon. Jesus, the bright morning star. Do you know him? Jesus, our way out of no way. Jesus, our medicine when we sick. Do you know him? If you know him, you ought to stand on your feet and shake somebody's hand and say, Jesus, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Jesus, the one that went to Calvary and hang on the cross. Jesus, the one that let him nail his hands, rivet his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head, locked his head in the midst of his shoulder, gave his Father his spirit and his body to the grave. Jesus, that same Jesus, got up Sunday morning with all power, shake your neighbor's hand and say, all power in his hand. Now let me ask you my question, ain't he all right? Shake your neighbor's hand and say, he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right with me because he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his all. Now let me ask you one more time before I go to my seat. Ain't he all right? Let me hear you say, yeah. Won't he make you run? Nobody behind you. Won't he make you laugh?
and ain't nothing funny. Won't he make you cry? It ain't nothing wrong. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!